Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, and welcome to our show. Tonight, our topic is our 11th wedding anniversary. Will love persevere through? Amen. But before we get started, we'd like to have some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful and awesome day, dear Heavenly Father. A day that celebrates 11 years of marriage together, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Father God, for your love that helped us through. We ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that you would just speak through us, dear Heavenly Father, and to us. As we minister your word, Father God, and we ask these things in Jesus' name for us, your sake we pray.
Amen. Amen. And again, the topic is our 11th wedding anniversary, what love perseveres through. We will be discussing how love perseveres even when we think that we can't stay together through thick and thin, and how God turns it all around for our good. Marriage is a threefold cord. When we live in the power of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are a strong cord that cannot be easily broken. And in fact, we are stronger than the strongest piece of rope that can be found anywhere. That threefold cord is a symbol for strength. In the spirit realm, we are by ourselves not very strong. And if we have no power, no prayer life, no fellowship with other believers, do not read the word or abide in Christ, we can easily be broken. Amen.
Amen.
And tonight we're coming out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 through 12 in the King James Version. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. And we're also going to do Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, coming out of the Message Bible with this one. And the scripture says there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'd like to say happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary.
And it has been a wonderful journey these last few years. And in the beginning, you know, we didn't have that threefold cord, and we definitely suffered. And I am so grateful that for these next few years, we don't have to look forward to that suffering. We do not have to look forward to that. And I said a few years, but I mean many more years to come.
Amen.
Amen.
This will be done.
But I thought we'd have a little fun tonight,
okay.
And we're going to talk about what love perseveres through.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a question. You can give me an answer, and then you can ask me a question. I'm going to give you an answer. And we're going to talk about what love perseveres through.
Okay.
So my first question to you is, do you regret at all being married
at this point in my life?
Period. End of question.
No, I don't regret being married.
You don't regret being married?
No, I don't. I'll pose that same question to you. You regret being married.
No, I love being married. I wanted to be married. Okay. You cheated.
How did I cheat?
Same question?
No.
Okay. Okay, a new question for you. Have you ever cheated in your marriage?
No, I haven't. Okay. Same question. Oh, have you ever cheated in your marriage?
No, I have not. Never wanted to cheat. Amen.
My question.
Of course. Okay. And you can't not no longer use my question.
You can use another question.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Well, those are two important questions. So, now that we got that out of the way.
Amen.
You
can ask me anything that you want to know about me.
I believe you.
Okay.
Earlier in our relationship, there were times where we really had some rough times.
True.
And during those times, I know verbally you spoke that you wanted to leave. You said that you couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
How did that make you feel?
Ooh, I was angry. I was confused. I didn't understand why God wanted me to stay in a situation where I was so unhappy. And I was also afraid to leave when he said no. That's how I feel. I feel hopeless. I really didn't think there was no reason for me to stay. I couldn't find any reason whatsoever for me to keep staying. And I really couldn't understand. The confusion was that, and I don't want to say confusion, I'm going to say the lack of understanding was I had always left relationships, always. I was always the first person to get out of the relationship. I would pick up my grip and be gone. I really couldn't understand why this time was so different for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question to you is, when you were gone and you had moved out and you had moved into the little place where you went, did you enjoy that?
Yes and no. Yes, because I had time to think. I had some peace. I had some time to myself. No, because I wanted to be home, but I didn't know how to get back home. I told you what I called to talk to you. I was kind of torn as to what I really wanted at that time. And it was a place that I just had to do some soul searching to see what it was that I really wanted for my life. But in my heart, I knew that I wanted to be married to you, but I didn't know how to make it right, you know, to get back to you. So. In my heart, I was unhappy. I was very sad because I felt like, you know, failure was right around the corner. And I didn't want to feel it. Okay, my turn. Out of all the things that we have been through, what was the greatest hurt?
The greatest hurt. Oh, wow. Ooh, okay. I don't know what the greatest hurt was because it was just about all equal to me. It was so much. But I can tell you the first hurt Can I tell you that?
Yep.
Okay. You remember when we was in Walmart and you ran into your ex-wife and you kissed her? That hurt. That was my first hurt. That was my first break-in of trust for me with you, because you did it in a way that, you know, it was sneaky. It looked real sneaky to me, you know, the way you popped around the corner and waved at me, and then, you know, I mean, it was just a bad, bad, bad feeling. And I looked at you totally different from being on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know anything about me. Okay. You and I never had children together. So how do you feel, how do you really feel raised in another man's child? How do you really feel about
that? Okay. At the beginning, I had happy at the beginning. I thought it was a good thing, you know. But we was young men,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I thought that at that age that I had a chance to, you know, to help raise him, you know. But little did I know that I was really supposed to do something. And making the mistake that I made, I really had some regret, you know. Because I saw myself failing, not being really committed to my Christian walk, and still, you know, having my flaws and shortcomings, times when it was good, and there was times where, you know, I did have some, you know, but, when I started looking at it through spiritual eyes, that's when it began to change for me, you know. And I heard in my spirit, you know, that God, he never quit on me, you know. But then I heard you say that same thing to confirm what I heard in my spirit. You know. How can you quit, you know, comes to loving someone and raising someone and being there for someone, how can you quit? How can you have conditions on that, you know? So through that, it really changed my attitude, you know, because a lot of times when I would say no, I stopped saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working through my feelings, because sometimes it ain't about how you feel. It's about what's right. And through that, I've learned to love, you know, being a father to him and helping him and wanting to see him succeed in life. There's so much potential in him, so much intelligence and good in him, and that's what I want to see come to the fore. I get frustrated sometimes, but I do a lot of praying, because in the end, I want to see him be successful in life. So I know that I can't let my feelings and emotions get in the way. So I have to support him the best that I can and walk with him through whatever it is he goes through, knowing that he has my support and my love. And that's why I'm at right now.
Okay.
Oh. How do you feel about my daughter, Lakeisha?
For me to have any feelings, because I don't know her. I don't know her at all. You know, I've actually been in her company once. In the whole 11 years we've been married. And my first feelings about her was fear that she wouldn't like me because I was not her mom. And one of the things that I realized that when I came into the picture, your ex-wife was still there. And the more time we spent together and the more serious we became, it changed our friendship, you know. And I think that made me feel like she wouldn't like me because of that. Because I think they had easier access to you when I was not there, you know. And so I feel like the outsider of that relationship. Stepmother to her, you know, or I don't even feel there's any relation because I don't know her and she's never been apart or, you know, and I remember making the mistake of calling her one time when I thought that she was a phone number of one of the women that you was talking to back then, and I apologized to her and I believe she accepted my apology, but still she's a grown woman and we just don't know each other. So I've never even been around the two of you to see interaction really. You know, so I don't know. That's the only way I could really answer that.
Mm-hmm. All right,
your turn. My turn. Okay. I know that you've been around me for almost 12 years now. And with those 12 years, I've been like in and out of jobs. How do you feel when I'm not working?
Okay. Earlier, when you first stopped working, I had an issue with it because I was used to, you know, keep having my things being done without really a lot of conversation. You know, we just took care of things. But then when it came down and let me also state at that time that I wasn't really managing my money well either.
Okay.
You know, I had my habits. You know, I had my vices. I drank and I smoked at the time. So I wasn't a very good steward over my money. But by you having money, the money that I wasted wasn't really, you know, noticeable. It was noticeable, but it really wasn't an issue at the time. But when you stopped working, then it became, you know, an issue. But it didn't stop me from doing what I was doing. You know, I continued to, you know, I started coining the phrase, sowing bad seed, you know, by buying weed and beer and liquor and things of that nature. But as I, you know, once I was delivered from that and accepted the situation for what it was, because God still blessed us through all of that,
mm-hmm.
in spite of, you know, and things were still being taken care of, you know, and I had been tithing and things of that nature. So it really didn't bother me until after my retirement, and I knew that I had to, you know, because you stood in the gap, you know. You took care of everything, even though you wasn't working. You still took the resources that you had and made sure everything stayed afloat, you know. And that was a ride or die moment of our relationship at that time. And you rode, you know. You stood beside me. You helped me, you know, make sure that everything was staying ends meet at the end of the month and put food in the house. you know, and make sure we had soap powder and toothpaste and deodorant and toilet tissue and all the other things that we needed, you know what I'm saying? So I couldn't complain, you know. It wasn't really anything I could say, you know what I'm saying? So, and through those experiences, I just learned, you know, that as long as I'm in position doing what I was supposed to do, that's why I went back to work, because I felt like it's time for me to get back in my rightful place, you know. I think that my retirement was premature, but I felt it was something I needed at the time because of the situation that I explained to you about the job. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather, you know, deal with it like that and go back if something happened and getting fired and then not being able to go back out there, because they do have some pretty good benefits, or they used to anyway.
Right.
But like I said, it was some mixed emotions at the time. But I just learned, you know, together that we accomplished what needed to be done. You know what I'm saying? And that was the important thing. You know, we kept a roof over our head. We wasn't, you know, threatened by anything, really. We just walked through it together. And I'm just so grateful for that, you know. I don't, you know, if you're working because that's what you want to do, fine. That's fine, too, you know, because I'm going to do what I got to do to take care of home. So I don't have any problems.
Okay.
Let's talk about finance.
Okay.
How do you feel about our financial situation over the years and now?
Okay. You know, I was thinking about that when you was talking, and now I was thinking about, you know, the scripture talking about that threefold cord, because I know that everything is but for the grace of God. You know, that he has pulled us through so much financially. I think that it was very difficult for me in the beginning to understand what you do with money. And I spend money, but I like to have money. And I look at the way I get money once. I look at the way this money has to last me the whole month. I don't think you look at money like that. And for me, financially, it's been some fears because of some of the decisions I've seen you make in the past. You know, the car was one of them. You know,
them and the repercussions of that.
Yeah, so they repossessed that. But the your money management is different from mine. You know, we spend different. I'm a thinker that I need to know everything that's needed in this house. And I need to make sure that everything that's needed in this house is here in this house. And some of the things that we like to do or want to do, you know, I like entertainment. I don't like to be at home all the time. I don't like to be bored. So that's added into it. And I think that it's gotten a whole lot better over the last, I'd say, 4 years. We've been married 11, but the last 4 years, you know, because you stop being so stingy. Now you'll give me money because, you know, every time I had money, when you ran out of money, I used to give you money. And I feel not used to, I give you money because I know you need it. And if I have it, I feel like if you need it. And, you know, my biggest thing was coming to you and you was always saying no. Regardless of what I needed for, you never asked me what I needed. You just say no. And that was hurtful. That was real hurtful because I used to do everything that I could possibly do to keep from coming to you when I should have been able to come to my husband first. And being able to do that now, you know, and know that you're not going to hurt my feelings or make me feel less than is a real good feeling. So financially now, you know, we're in a much better place. I still try to keep money. I think I still keep money longer than you do. I do. You getting better, but I still keep money longer than you do.
Well, I mean, under the circumstances, because I've exhausted what I had, you know, trying to maintain the bills and stuff. It just ran out and wasn't nothing coming in. And what was coming in was basically enough to pay, you know, the house note, you know, pay the rent. So I don't use that as an excuse.
Because that was just like within the last year.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
year.
The last 11
years. Oh, well, I was selfish back then. You know,
that's what I was talking
and
about.
And that, you know, that really hurt us because we could be a lot more better off than what we are right now. But
I'd rather be happy than to have a whole lot of money. I'd rather be happy. And I'm happy now, satisfied. I know I can come to you and get a few dollars if I need a few dollars. I know if you got it, you'll give it to me. So that right there makes me feel better than financially than I've ever felt with
you know,
before.
As the head of the household, though, I feel that I am responsible for our financial security.
And you said that. Let me ask you my question. Okay. You got to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Okay?
Okay.
What happened to your wedding ring?
I told you I took it off.
Did you take it off in the strip club and lose it? How you know?
Because I didn't where I lost it.
Where did you lose it?
I lost it at Andre.
Why did you take it off?
I was chilling around, sitting at the table with Saul.
No, that ring was on your finger. You had to take that ring off.
That's what
I
was doing.
Take mine off. Why
did you take it off? I was sitting at the table. I was just fidgeting. I was just sitting there. There wasn't a lot going on. We were sitting there drinking beer. And I was sitting there playing with my ring. I was tripping with my ring. And I got up to go outside. Wow. I put it in my pocket. And when I went to put it back on, I had lost it. But that's where I lost my ring at.
I still don't like that story, but anyway. But anyway, okay. You got one last question, do you?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. I just like to say that it's been a wonderful ride. The good and the bad, and the good definitely outweighs the bad for me now. And
man,
I just want to thank you and tell you that I love you.
I love
and
you
happy
too.
Anniversary, Miss Evans.
And happy anniversary, Miss Carolyn Marie Evans. And
thank
we
you.
Have persevered by the grace of God.
Amen. You're going to pray us out.
Father God, again, we thank you, Father God, for this time, Father God. A time of bearing and sharing and just trying to get a better understanding of where we are after all these years, Father God. But we are so glad, Father God, that you are that core that keeps us together, the Heavenly Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. For the sake we pray.
Amen. Amen. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. And we just like to say that no matter what the situation is, no matter what the problem is, the lesson is always love.
Amen.
Amen.